This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And welcome on this really, really nice day. Might be a little bit hot. Brian just told us that it's 101 degrees outside, so have plenty of liquids with you. I have Mr. Buddy Oliver on with me. We have worked together for a long time, off and on, and started many, many years ago. Buddy's first name is really Elgin, but I've never known him by anything but Buddy as long as I've known him. How you doing today, Buddy?
Doing fine.
Good. We want to let you know that this part of Buddy's show is brought to you by At Home Care. That's Melissa Warren's business, and as you know already, she saw a special need in our community for people who no longer could take care of the responsibilities of their home, and it looked like there's a possibility that they have to move out. Well, they don't do it anymore. Melissa Warren made sure of that. Now they come into your home 24/7, take care of all those responsibilities, take care of your errands. You just sit back and relax and enjoy life. And give them a call. It's 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or their place of business is 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard, and that's At Home Care. How you been doing, buddy?
Been doing good.
You look good. You know, first time that I ever met you was back in 1972, and it was at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department at 400 West Main Street.
Yeah.
And you were assigned to be my first partner and first trainer. And I still remember going into that not knowing what in the world I was getting into. And you just made things so easy for me. And you had a routine laid out that we would all do. And law enforcement back then was a whole lot different than it is today.
Yeah, a lot different than it was, than it is today. You know, the people are different.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, you knew just about everybody. Mm-hmm. And you knew the people that you would be dealing with on a daily basis. So it made a lot of difference.
Now, when we started, we didn't have any formal training. It was all OJT.
That was it.
And as you think back, you know, law enforcement has gone through its trials and its changes. But I look forward backwards, I guess, into the early 1970s when Robert Goodwin became sheriff. It seems like that he made a real effort to make sure that law enforcement was brought up into a more professional type organization. And he did that by some of his hires, because he hired Houston Carlton, and you guys had law enforcement experience. And then Ernest Carlton, who was in Eagleville, and so many people that could pass along a lot of their knowledge to the new guys like me who are just getting started.
Yeah, he did a good job. He was a real professional to start with, and he knew how to run a department, and he demanded that you do your job. He didn't let you loaf around, and I know you know that well as anybody.
Oh, but yes.
You know, you had to work, and I think it made a lot of difference. And he did a lot of things with the sheriff's department. When I first started, there wasn't a midnight shift. At 2 a.m, everybody went home. And
that was before me, because
yeah,
Charlie Potts, Junior Potts, bless his heart, and we had a shift, and as you remember, they were all 9-hour shifts, and you just took off whenever you could to get something to eat 6 days a week.
Yeah, and when they had that no shift at 2 a.m, if you could, you'd go home, and Randy Galloway and myself would take turns of answering calls after 2 o'clock. They'd call us at home. We'd come back to the sheriff's department, pick up a car, and go answer the call. And you'd be by yourself. There wasn't another soul in the world out there but you.
And that's the truth. I mean, there was no backup. And it was one of those things. I remember, of course, Craig Snell was one of the ones, Jim Johnson, and there were so many back then changes because it was a tough place to work when you're talking about. You didn't have any off time, basically, and it was rare that you got a day off.
Yeah, and like I said, if you got a call, wasn't any, no backup to come. There wasn't any. So you had to take care of it regardless of what it was.
Now, of course, Murfreesboro Police Department was small at that time, yeah. too, very small. And one thing that stands into my mind, that you guys were willing to go to the sheriff's office, and you'd worked at the Murfreesboro Police Department, yeah. where you did have, in the back of your mind, at least you thought that you had a pretty secure job that you could retire in back yeah. then. But yet you guys were willing to go over to the sheriff's department when Robert Goodwin was elected sheriff, knowing that was limited to three terms, and each one of them was a two-year term, which means basically you were running for office all the time.
Yeah, it was just the sheriff was just about continuously running. The time he got through with one election, he almost had to start on the other one. And they did their politicking daily,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Had to.
It was just part of their job, and, you know, they got out and met people and stuff, and all the sheriffs had to do that. And I remember the first night when I went to work, there wasn't but one man left from the other administration.
Wow.
And I left the police department at 11:30 or 11:45 and went over to the sheriff's department and went to work at midnight.
When they were sworn in.
Yeah.
I still remember all those days when everybody would be sworn in, and then some would stay and some would go. It was tough, really, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, it was.
To see the ones go that were leaving, and then the new ones coming in. You know, you knew just about everybody that was either going or coming, and it actually would disrupt the organization for a while till everybody got their feet on the ground.
Yeah, it was a big change because really there was nobody left. You know, it was just a few. Like I said, there was one man left, and it's Clint Medlock.
Oh, Clint.
And he was there the first night when Sheriff Goodwin took over. And, of course, Sheriff Goodwin brought me and a couple other people with him that day or night, and we started like we'd been there the whole time.
Now, did Houston start that very first day?
Yeah.
And he was Robert's chief deputy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you later on moved on up the ranks of captain, and well-deserved, because you were the one that taught me what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to go. And it was a learning experience. But to be honest with you, it was a lot of fun because common sense reigned back then. You had the laws that you had to abide by. But the people that you dealt with, it was almost like everybody in the community was a related family member somewhere, and you knew everybody that you went on a call for. So you pretty much knew how to react to each situation.
Now, you knew what to expect when you get a call and they tell you who it was or where it was. You knew what you was coming in on most of the time. There was a few times you'd run up on somebody that you didn't know, and it worked out real well like that, because just some of the guys you'd go to arrest or have a problem with, you'd have to fight them every time you went. Mm-hmm. Some of them you didn't.
And the people respected you back then.
Sure they did. That was a big difference. They really respected law enforcement. And once in a while you'd run up on one. I remember one told me once that he wasn't fighting me, he was fighting that uniform. And
did you take the uniform off and give it to
him? I felt like it.
You know, what was the difference? What was in your mind back then when Sheriff Goodwin talked to you about coming over? Because you're leaving a place that was pretty much a safe place to work as far as your security was concerned.
Well, I wanted to really do law enforcement, do what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I first started, I don't think they really even had a detective. It was just...
No, they didn't.
Ever who it fell on to take care of a case. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. And I liked the freedom more. And working with the police department, which was a good place to work. I worked there two different times. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun, too. But sometimes you'd get stuck on the square on midnights with no car in middle of the winter, and that was kind of rough. But it was a lot of fun, too. But I just like the freedom, and I like to be able to get out and really do law enforcement instead of just writing tickets and stuff like that.
Well, you know, it was a big difference because in a Murfreesboro zone, you probably had, what, about 5 or 6 square miles or something like that. And then you went to the county, your zone was 614 or 621 square miles.
Yeah, it was a big difference. And here, you know, they had the city cut up and had it cut in half when mm-hmm. I first started. They had an east car and a west car, and then they had another car. And it worked kind of the middle. Mm-hmm. And that was it. But, you know, you travel from one zone to the other. It wasn't, in later years, you was in a zone. You didn't leave it unless somebody told you to.
Now, Buddy Chambliss was chief, I believe, when you were over there, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was there when I started.
And then, of course, Robert Goodwin was. Almost everybody at that point, except a few of us country boys, had some type of link to the Murfreesboro Police Department. Because they really did. And when he was smart enough, I'm talking about Sheriff Goodwin smart enough to hire some people that were basically part-time as far as the experience was going, because, you know, we had all us new guys coming on. We didn't have a clue, and there was no way to get any training at that time, so it was all on the job. And I remember when he put Ernest Carlton out at Eagleville, he was pretty much zoned to Eagleville or Rockville and all of that back there. Of course, he knew it like the back of his hand. He lived on Highway 99, between Rockville. I guess it'd be listed as more Rockville than it would Eagleville. But he had the foresight, because back then, with having such a small department, we had to rely on the citizens a whole lot more than although they still do. Back then, I mean, that's where you got all your information.
You got all your information from them, and you know, they knew you, and you knew them, like on a daily basis. You know, you'd mm-hmm. see them at the stores and stuff, and it made it a lot easier on you. You know, if something happened, usually somebody in the community would come to you and tell you, you know, well, I think it's this one or that one.
It was funny how we had our shifts broken up, because you and I usually came to work at 4 o'clock. But you were on 4 o'clock all the time, weren't you? 4 to, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning?
2 in the morning.
Okay. And then I was on a split shift, which meant I worked that shift and the midnight, which meant I would go all the way deep into the morning and work with Junior Potts, Charlie. And then later on, Cooney Smotherman came on. And when you think about it, with Randy Galloway there and with Craig Snell, Robert Goodwin, of course, had all that experience. And you were talking about not really having a detective division, but still they kind of had some people that were assigned for the complicated cases. And, of course, Craig Snell, Randy Galloway, I think, were the two main ones that he had at that time.
Yeah, in later years, they worked just about all of the major cases.
And, you know, the Sheriff's Department, you look back, and I call it the golden years of law enforcement. And the officers had a lot of discretion on almost every case they went on. And instead of being boxed in and the way it is now, that you're pretty much have to follow the guidelines almost the way they go down. There have been so many laws that have been changed since you and I were on, but on a DUI, we had discretion on whether to even arrest them at that time.
Sure did.
And it made a big difference, because it seems like there was a great rapport between the sheriff's officers and the communities everywhere you went at that time.
Yeah, you didn't write tickets as such, you know, for speed. I know I found one of my old ticket books back a year or so ago, and it was
still intact.
Well, it had 25 tickets in it to start with, and I think I might have wrote 10 out of it in 6 years.
What happened? Did somebody put a gun on you?
It must have. But all those were like DUIs or something like that. I didn't write any speeding tickets. I don't think I ever wrote one. I did it to city, but I never did with the county.
You know, your ideal situation was you were out there to enforce the law. When the law was broken, it was you would act on that. But like I said, your main concern was for the people themselves at that time. And I've always thought that the laws were set up to protect the citizens who live in the community. So at that time, officer discretion really did work a lot because it drew the community closer to you, and they were more willing to help you when any type of situation came simply because they felt comfortable with you.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, if you stopped a young person for reckless driving mm-hmm. or something, you know, and you would talk to him and tell him, well, I'm going to tell you, Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
And give him a break. I don't think I ever had to get a kid like that the second time because, you know, he felt like you'd give him a break.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you write him a ticket, and he feels like, well, I paid the ticket, so it's over. I'm ready to go again.
Now, when we go on these bad calls where there's guns involved and a shooting or whatever, you know, I can't ever remember responding to a call back then that I didn't feel comfortable with the man that was going to be my backup, or maybe like you and I were when we would ride together, because a lot of times we would have two men to a car and we might be the only ones out there.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, I don't. Very seldom did I ride by myself at the sheriff's department. Usually I was training somebody or something, you know, and you'd keep them for 6 months or a year, and then another new guy'd come in and you'd start training him, and the other guy'd go out on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to depend on the man that was with you. If you couldn't depend on him, then you had a real problem.
Oh, you sure did. And well, I thought, you know, I think that Sheriff Goodwin's rule was to go out and do things for the community all the time. And you remember one thing, and Fred Goodwin just walked in. I don't know.
I remember where all of
But anyway, what do you remember? He had us check all the churches in the county every night. And
sure
he came
did.
Up with a card. And it was a building check card, and we would sign it. Each officer would sign it in case something may have gone wrong sometime during the night. But he wanted everybody to know that that church had been checked in the community. And it didn't matter where it was 10 degrees below zero or 101 out here like it is now. We checked those. And you know one good thing about it, I've thought about this for a long time, it kept us awake. When you've been working 50-something hours in a row and you're out there riding a car after that sun goes down, it was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. And but, you know, we had to put those cards on stores that were closed and stuff. And it stopped a lot of crime because people that do that type of thing, they knew that at some point during the night we was going to be around. They just didn't know when.
Yeah, if they're lucky, we got around. If you happen in one of those nights where you had call after call after call, you were not answering calls in a 10 or 20, 25-mile zone. You were answering calls in a 600-something square-mile zone. So you were burning it up. But, you know, the good thing about it is there wasn't a whole lot of traffic out.
No, there wasn't a lot of traffic. And even then, you know, Laverne didn't have a police department.
That's right, they didn't.
And Eagleville didn't. Of course, they had Ernest that was out there.
Oh, they had a department then. Ernest was there.
Ernest was the department there. But, you know, it was a lot different. But you could get a call, and you may be in Walter Hill, and you'd have to go all the way to Rockvale or Eagleville or somewhere, you know. And it was a big area to cover.
I got to make a confession. Buster Cook, who was one of our
yeah.
dispatchers at the time, gave me a call, and I can't remember where it was, but it was one of these little smaller than Rockvale or Kittrell or something. I can't remember where it was. I didn't know where it was, and I didn't have enough sense to. I was afraid to ask him because I was brand new. I know those people. They had to wait a long time for me to get there. I think I tried every road in the county before I finally got there. But, you know, we really had some good people working there. And talking about Bob Van Vort, he worked the late shift. I mean, just really super nice guy. Retired from the Air Force. And he won a lot of awards when he was at the Air Force. But we had Buster Cook, and he was my first dispatcher that I ran into when I first started working. Yeah. And R.C. Clark was a great dispatcher. Yeah. But I remember it wasn't as complicated in dispatch as it is now.
No.
I mean, you just picked up, pushed it, and then probably heard about 20 other dispatchers from all around the communities pull in, too. But we had to fill in. Of course, we didn't have enough dispatchers to cover the entire week, so we had to fill in as dispatch. So that took another officer off the road, and it was a great learning. In fact, we didn't have any jailers back then.
No. I, usually when we'd come to work in the afternoons, you know, we'd have to make sure we fed the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'd leave, and if something happened at the jail, then the dispatcher would have to call us to come in. And it was interesting.
We arrested. I mean, we got the calls. We went out on the calls. We arrested them. We locked them up. I think we did everything but cook back then.
We did.
And they'd have been in a bad shape if we had had to cook.
Yeah, they didn't want us cooking.
Now, this is something. Since Fred is here, back then the sheriff either could take the living quarters at the jail or he could designate somebody to take the, because you needed security 24 hours a day there. And Houston Carlton was the first one that I remember being there at the sheriff's office that actually lived there. I think he was there.
Yeah, he lived there. And I can't remember if anybody before that did or not. I know the sheriff before Sheriff Goodwin, he didn't live there. And
Hall McNabb.
Uh-huh. And I'm not sure about some of the other ones, but I can't remember one ever living in there.
Well, now, it was all set up for a living space.
Because sure.
I remember the sheriff's office, when you go in that front door, was right to your right. But on back behind him were, it seemed like two bedrooms, I think it was.
And, yeah, it was and, a full and, living quarters.
Yeah, which was kind of neat when you think about it. But I don't know, Fred, do you remember, I know when... Robert Goodwin took over as sheriff. I remember that we had a lady by the name of Margaret Puckett who was the cook. I believe that's right. And yeah. she couldn't cook, of course, all of the time, all through the week. So my Aunt Jane would come in, and she would actually fill in, not getting paid for it, actually cook. It was amazing.
It was interesting. You know, like when Mr. Carlton moved into the jail, his wife was a nurse at the hospital, and I think Sheriff Goodwin was thinking about that. Plus, she would be there if we brought, a lot of the time, if we brought in a female prisoner and they had to be searched, then that was something she'd come do for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And we just have to bring them in out, off the road, not searched. Just hope they didn't have nothing.
Have you ever brought in a prisoner and had them hide something in the back seat that they didn't want you to find?
Yeah.
Like a weapon?
I had one hide a gun in there once.
I had two.
And he was a real nice-dressed gentleman, you know, and had on a suit, and I stopped him for DUI somewhere, got him to the jail, and after we got him locked up, I went back out there, got to looking in the car and found a gun in the back seat that he had.
Kind of brought chills down your back when
and you know, back then you didn't handcuff people as soon as you seen them. You know, you just set them in the car, and very seldom did you ever use handcuffs unless somebody tried to fight you or something.
And they didn't have a protective screen in the cars either.
No,
you were just, I mean, there you were driving a lot of times by yourself with a prisoner in the back with no protection at all.
No screen at all. Sometimes they'd get to fight and come over the seat, and you'd be going down the road. So it was different.
Yeah, but you know, everything, like I say, everything had common sense. And when you treated each person that you arrested, no matter how serious the crime, if you treated them the way you would want to be treated, usually you got that same response back from them.
Yeah, you did. And I think that made a lot of difference, you know. They knew you, and you knew them. You knew their whole family. And even years later, when I was at the workhouse, I'd run up on people that was kids when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember you coming to my house or something, you know, and it it was just a lot different. And you knew who you had, who you could halfway trust and not. So it made a lot of difference.
Do you remember any extraordinary things happening while you were at the sheriff's office?
I remember a few. One of them was...
I mean that you can share.
Yeah, one of them. I guess the worst one I ever had was there was a guy out on 231. There was a little trailer park there right before you get to the VA. Mm-hmm. We got a call out there on this guy, and he was fighting with his wife and kids. And after we got out, I went by myself, of course, got out there, and he was a great big burly guy, and he was beating on the side of a trailer. And he was drunk, and I tried to arrest him, and mm-hmm. he knocked me through a swing set. When I finally got up, he started on me again. I shot him. Mm-hmm. And
right around the belly button,
right in the middle of his belly button.
Yeah.
And, you know, years later, I'd run up on that guy at stores and stuff, and he'd come up like we was long-lost friends. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen him in several years, but we always got along after that. There wasn't any hard feelings in it, you know.
I remember that. You know why I remember it? Because you and I were partners that night, and you had let me out at my house on Bradleville Pike for supper.
Yeah.
And I went in to eat, and you went over, and you gone, I guess, 5 or 6 minutes, and you got the call, and you thought it would be quicker just to go ahead and answer that call. I remember that.
Yeah, you just didn't think something like that would happen back mm-hmm. then, you know. And when it did... It was something different, you know. I never will forget. After it was all over with, I told Sheriff Goodwin, I said, "Well, I guess I need to go home, huh?" He said, "Nah. If you go home, people think you done something wrong. Just go on back to work." And so that's what I did.
See, that was a different attitude. Now, there is one that I can remember. I know you remember that. Of course, we didn't have jailers, so we had trustees that would take care of the jail, believe it or not. And it wasn't just with us. It was all across the country. Yeah. I went down in Alabama one time, and I couldn't get a prisoner out that we had warrants for because the jailer was running the jail, and the sheriff was the only one that couldn't release the man. We stayed there, I believe, forever. But this particular time, the trustee somehow had gotten it in with some of the other prisoners. Of course, remember, we had prisoners on the east side and the west side on the adult.
Yeah.
And sometimes we might have 3 or 4 people in jail, and sometimes we might have 50-something. You just never knew it. It would swing that much. But anyway, a couple of them wanted out. So that night, the trustee went up there and let everybody out. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember
that.
Oh,
I do. I mean, we were man hunting all night long. I've never seen anything.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I remember that now. Yeah.
But thank goodness we got them all back that night. I don't know how we did it, but we had everybody there that was hired at the sheriff's office. And, of course, that wasn't many. It might have been 10 or 11 of us, maybe 12 of us. That'd been about it.
I think it was about 11 or 12 total.
That's all we had. But anytime anything extraordinary would happen, I mean, it was tenfold more than what you would have now, because there's very few resources for us at that time. I mean, it was tough.
Yeah, you just didn't have anybody to call. I mean, you know, the highway patrol back in those days had maybe one trooper here, and he went home after midnight too, mm-hmm. unless he got a call. And so if you was working in those early years before, but even after Charlie Potts and Cooney Smotherman and Vern Benford and mm-hmm. Elmer Greer worked midnights, they didn't have anybody to call. I mean, it was just them. And usually it was just one car with two men, and that was it.
It was an entirely different world for each one of those people back then, because we all came from different backgrounds, every one of us. But it seemed like that there was a way that we all blended together where we all had that respect for each other. And if something happened, just like if maybe I was off one day and you had run into some trouble somewhere or vice versa, it wouldn't be anything unusual for us to jump in our cars and head out there and see what we could do to help the situation. But, you know, we had bad guys back then that are just as bad or worse than some of them today. And we knew who they were, and we knew how to react to them, which kind of gave us a little bit of an advantage at that time.
They gave you a big advantage over today, where they're dealing with people that they don't know at all. And then, like I say, we knew who they was and had a good idea of what we was going to encounter when we got out.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Elgin Buddy Oliver.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and floor covering.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Hi, this is Mike, owner of Maple Street Grill, inviting you to come and experience our Uncorked area. And Uncorked is open Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to midnight, now featuring live music from 9 to midnight. Uncorked is located conveniently above Maple Street Grill at 109 North Maple Street in downtown historic Murfreesboro.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare is Rutherford County's number one choice in pest control, and it's simple to see why. After calling 893-7111, their staff came to my house 8 years ago when I had an insect problem. They looked at the situation, showed me the areas, and what they'd recommend to resolve the problem. After treatment and with quarterly checks, I'm bug, critter, and creepy crawly free. Thanks, AmeriCare.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pest.
AmeriCare, 893-7111.
It's time now for Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. An artwork by James Spearman is on display right now through July the 27th in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall. That's through July the 27th. And you're encouraged to celebrate the 4th of July with your friends here in Murfreesboro over at McKnight Park. It starts with a day of fun at the Murfreesboro Beach. That's the outdoor pool and water park at SportsCom. At 9 o'clock, a fantastic fireworks display set to music by the Murfreesboro Symphony. And if the weather forces any changes, tune to WGNS. And the 13th annual Special Kids Friend Raiser will be at the World Outreach Church at 5:30 Thursday evening, July 19th. Motivational speaker John Acuff is the guest. Call Special Kids for information, 893-4892. And the 117th annual Sons of Confederate Veterans Reunion will be in Murfreesboro this year. That's right, July the 11th through the 14th over at the Embassy Suites and Conference Center. Oh, check our website for more Good Neighbor events and local news, too. It's all free. WGNSradio.com. And those are Good Neighbor events.
There is a difference at Murfreesboro Automotive.
We have a lot of people that just pull up and say, hey, my check engine light is on. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? And we don't charge for that.
That's Chuck Haynes with Murfreesboro Automotive.
A lot of stores will charge. We do that at no charge here. We feel like they'll probably become a customer if we do that.
From the simple oil change to major auto repair work, Murfreesboro Automotive can handle it all. They're on Ridgely Road. Just turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. Murfreesboro Automotive.
Project Help.
Those are the children of Project Help. Saddle Up for Project Help will be held Thursday, July 26th at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Project Help, Rutherford County's only center-based early intervention preschool program. To sponsor Saddle Up, buy tickets or learn more about Project Help, call 898-2458 or visit mtsu.edu/Project Help.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Buddy Oliver. Of course, we have Fred Goodwin in here. He's just listening. I don't know.
I'm having fun with you guys, man. Just listening to your tales.
Now, some of the people, and this is what really has really made me look back at Robert Goodwin's terms that he was in office, the hires he made, and the instructions that he gave to each person. Really, that was the start of the Sheriff's Department becoming a really top law enforcement agency. You think back all the people he hired, not just the Carltons that we've already mentioned and yourself, and of course Bobby Lynch was known as one of the top law enforcement people in the state of Tennessee at that time, and you remember him well. But think about Steve Lane. Steve Lane went on and became successful in a lot of areas in emergency service, and eventually became the one that actually started E-91 in Rutherford County.
Sure did. Yeah, Sheriff Goodwin hired people that he thought would make good law enforcement officers, and some of them had experience, some of them didn't. And Bob Lynch was one of those people that was very smart, been mm-hmm. to the FBI Academy. And
which was rare back then.
Then that was just something that didn't happen. And he was just really a sharp law enforcement officer.
And you remember when a major case would open up here in the community, Bobby would be the one that would actually be tutoring everybody on how to react to the case. He had that much knowledge.
Yeah.
And it was amazing how we were able to respond to him, because you had that much respect for him. I mean, you'd have looked up to him. He's almost like J. Edgar Hoover was sitting right in your office.
Yeah, he didn't push his knowledge on you. Mm-hmm. He would just say, well, now, if it was me, I would do this. Mm-hmm. And it made you feel better, you know. And like I said, he was sharp. You know, you knew that if what he said, he knew what he was talking about.
And David Puckett, of course.
Yes.
David's one that started years ago. And I remember when he came in, this big, tall, gangly guy. And he was so nice and laid back. And he ended up working at the academy in Nashville, became an attorney, and was an assistant DA here in Rutherford County. And now he's hung his shingles out in Woodbury, and he's going to start practicing law there. But you look all the way across the board at the success that a lot of his people that he hired went on to become have such contributions in not only law enforcement, but in other areas.
Yeah, it was a lot of people, you know, that left there that stayed in law enforcement. Randy Galloway became an investigator for the DA's office, and I left there, and after I got out of police work, took over the workhouse and stayed there 14 years. And everybody, a lot of people that was there stayed in law enforcement to some degree over the years.
Now, was that a big change going over to the workhouse? Because, you know, you're dealing with those people day in, day out, inside the workhouse. And it's one of those places that you don't really have the felons there. You've got the misdemeanors, but yet you're still working on trying to change their lives around to keep them from having to keep coming in.
Yeah, when I first started there, you know, you'd go in and lock the doors, and I felt like I was in jail because mm-hmm. I mean, I'd been used to being out and mm-hmm. on the roads and stuff. And
big difference.
All of a sudden, I'm there, you know, 8 hours a day or longer, and it took me a while to adjust it. I never did enjoy it like I did law enforcement. I don't think I've ever had a job that I enjoyed as much as law enforcement, unless when I first started working. Mm-hmm. I started working at Jennings and Ayers.
Ah.
With Mr. Ayers.
Driving the ambulances or whatever you called them back then. Yeah. They're mostly Cadillacs, I think.
And I learned a lot from him, and I worked at Woodfin's. Mr. Mm-hmm. John Woodfin, you know, those people taught me a lot about life in general. Mm-hmm. And I think they gave me the knowledge to be able to talk to people and handle people, because they had their own touch, and they never tell you, but you just, on a daily basis, you watching them, you know, they'd never criticize you about nothing you said or nothing you done. It just, you learn from watching.
You know, it's almost like driving in NASCAR today. driving back then on these old roads, because once you got those sirens going, the adrenaline started flowing. Yeah. And there was nothing like it. I mean, you knew that there was something special going on. And I don't know if anybody that ever went into law enforcement or any one of the safety divisions that did not have that first reaction when you went on somewhere. I mean, it was just like you were just full of all kinds of adrenaline and energy.
Yeah, you can't help it. It's just, you know, it's just something you get, and you get hyped up over it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is something special. Now, let's go back to the thing with the switching between the city and the county. How was it done so easily back then? Because you had, and the thing is, it still comes up in my mind, is you know that you're going into a law enforcement agency that you may or may not be able to stay very long, and you're giving up that income, and you know that you may not be able to go back into the city again or whatever, or going into another law enforcement agency. Did that ever come into your mind? I know it didn't mine. It did not come into my mind at all, because I wanted to work for the sheriff's office.
Didn't me either. I didn't. Sheriff Goodwin, when he first got elected, before we ever took office, mm-hmm. He came to me and asked me to come to work at the sheriff's department, mm-hmm. and told me what shift I'd be working. And I just thought that was something I wanted to do. I never thought about, well, 6 years from now, I may not have a job.
Or 2 years.
Yeah, or 2 years. And so it never crossed my mind. But when I stayed the 6 years, and then when Sheriff Snell took over, he wasn't going to keep me. Mm-hmm. So Claude Armour, who was over the mm-hmm. police department at the time, called me and told me, said, we're going to have some openings in July, and I'd like for you to come put in an application. So, because he asked me, where are you going? I said, home, I guess. So I put in an application and went down there and talked to him, and he hired me back at the city.
You know, that's one thing about it. There was that place to go. You ended up with somewhere to go. But at that time, you didn't even think about retirement or any of those other issues that are really up front right now. There wasn't anything like that.
Well, when I started when I was 21. So when you're in your 20s, mm-hmm. you should be thinking about it, but you just don't think about retirement. Mm-hmm. You think, well, you know, that's 30 years down the road. I'm not going to worry about it. And so it never crossed my mind. Matter of fact, it never, ever crossed my mind in any place I ever changed to. And I worked in Smyrna as assistant chief for a few mm-hmm. years. And everywhere I ever got a job after the first one, I really never applied for it. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the department would call me and say, well, you know, will you come work for us? So I guess I felt like it was going to continue forever, but it didn't, you know. After I went to the workhouse, I really just didn't want to get back in law enforcement for a while. I really like it. I still miss it. And I'm too old to do it now.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
But what was the big draw? Because it was just like a magnet drawing us in at the sheriff's department. It was just something special at that time.
Well, I think once you get in it, it just gets in your blood, mm-hmm. and you love it. You know, no matter what happens, you just love the job. And you like the people you work with, you know, and I just like it. I still miss it.
You know, just about everybody that I worked with, in fact, everybody I worked with at the sheriff's office, I still have fond memories of, and it just, it's something that, it was almost like when we were in the service. Everybody's thrown in there together, and you have impossible jobs to do, but everybody has got the same responsibilities. And when you're done like that, and when you're all together, it makes a big difference in how you react to each individual. And I know Junior right now is having a hard time, and
yeah,
over in Christiana, and of course I worry about him. And you try to keep up with everybody as much as you can, of course. In today's time, unfortunately, it's not like when we were growing up here. There's things going on all the time that you have to take care of, and it's not like it was then.
Well, your life gets too busy, and you just don't have the time. And a lot of times, you know, like in Junior's case, I didn't realize he was as sick as he is until maybe a month ago or something. Somebody was telling me about it. One of the teachers out at Christiana was telling me.
Junior, you go back a while before you can see people like Junior and how they were. He may have been the strongest man I have ever run into.
Oh, he was.
For his size, I mean, he would haul hay, he would haul cedar. I mean, he worked 24 hours a day, and man, what a knock. I still remember there was an older lady who had a flat tire out in the county, and we would always respond to someone who was having problems. It didn't matter whether it was a legal problem or not. We'd try to take care of them. And with her flat tire, she was not able to take care of it because she was, I'm not going to say elderly, but she's an older lady. So we went by and see what we could do. And we finally figured out she didn't have a jack and we didn't have one to go with it. So we figured out if we could lift the back of the vehicle enough and put the tire right next to it, she could probably push the tire over and we could get enough going there that we could finish putting the tire on. So we went back and I reached down to grab the bumper, and all of a sudden the bumper started going up. In one hand, he lifted the back of that car, and we put the tire on. Unbelievable.
And one of these plastic cars like we got today.
Either. Oh, no. That thing was tough. But I cannot remember one person that I worked with that I ever felt uncomfortable going on a call that, you know, we may be shot or we may be not, or we may have a guy out there that can whip 15 people. But if you got somebody with you that you trust, it takes all of that out of the equation.
Yeah, you don't think of it. That's just one of those things you just never thought about. And well, we was lucky. Nothing real bad ever happened.
Yeah, we were lucky. But you think about, get into our minds. There we are. We're working at a place 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, really don't have any time off whatsoever. You don't have any benefits, really. There weren't any benefits back then. We got paid once a month, and it was very little. So usually you had to compensate somehow by finding something else, or either our wives would work or do something. And you talking about being able to manage money. I learned a lot on how to manage money back then, because you were watching every penny until the end of that month came, so you got some money back.
You know, when I first started with the police department, we made $365 a month.
Hmm.
And
that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And when I switched over to the sheriff's department, I might have made an extra 20 or something, but it wasn't a big difference. And it was tough.
Now, you remember all these people that you work for at the city and the county, do any of them really stand out in your mind as kind of unusual?
Well, there was several that was kind of unusual, but most of the people that worked there was just old country boys, you know, like Henry Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
And
Henry.
And people like that, you know, that they just used good old common sense.
Mm-hmm.
in law enforcement. And when something happened, you know, they could almost tell you right off who did it. And I learned a lot from them.
You hardly ever saw any of them lose their cool.
No. Henry Carlton was probably one of the most laid-back fellows that I've ever known.
You know, I remember the day that Buddy Chambers was on the square, and he had somebody who was after him quite... it was getting really bad.
Yeah.
And he had to shoot the individual. I never will forget, and you talking about the respect, the first person that he went and gave that weapon to was Robert Goodwin, the sheriff. And I never will forget that, because, you know, sometimes you did not always get along that well with the individual.
No.
Although you respected them, you know, it was just the way things were. But there was so much respect between the two of them. And, you know, we could almost write a book. We could sit down writing a book, and we could probably finish it in about 3 or 4 weeks on all of these unusual things, if we can keep from getting sued, that happened while we were out on the road.
Yeah, people had a lot of respect for one another. and you might not always agree with a fellow you work with, and but you respected him, and if something happened, then you was going to be there with him, no matter what.
And we would relate to whatever was going on at the time. As you know, working late, there were very few places open in Rutherford County that you could go eat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when all the bars let out, then the people who had been imbibing all that time had to find a place to go. So there was very few places that we could go. In fact, there were none when the people who had had a little too much to drink didn't show up. So you can remember that a lot of those places, which would be maybe 3 or 4 that would be open, they would always call and ask us to come and take our supper break at their place, because they knew that when the swarm of people came in from the bars, there was going to be trouble almost every time. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And, you know, Dan's Truck Stop was one between Murfreesboro and
PC's Truck Stop,
yeah.
Yes.
And those kind of places are not around that much anymore, you know.
No.
And you
Ma Neely's.
Ma Neely's, Little Brown Jug, yeah. Out on Woodbury Pike.
Yeah. There was a lot of them back then. And that's funny. We had to cover every one of them. I think we had a round on Friday night and Saturday night that we had to cover every beer joint in the county. That was pretty hard to do.
Yeah. And Sheriff Goodwin, you know, he wasn't an office kind of guy either.
No.
You know, he would get out and work, and if something bad happened, you could almost bet he'd be one of the first people to show up.
Yeah. Well, he had that, he had that, all that law enforcement in his blood.
Yeah, and he, you know, he would get in a fight just as quick as anybody else had to.
You couldn't avoid it back then, could you?
No.
We're going to take a quick break.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
I'm with Mark Goodson, the new owner of the Bunganut Pig here in Murfreesboro. Mark, tell us a little bit about the Bunganut Pig.
The store's been open for 17 years. If you haven't eaten with us, we hand cut and hand trim all of our ribeye, and we guarantee the best burger in town.
They should expect a smoke-free environment, open to all ages, live music.
Join the Bunganut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bunganut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers 2 locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Elgin Buddy Oliver. And one person we forgot to mention. Who was it, Buddy?
Glenn Christman.
Can you believe that? The chief of Murfreesboro. It's the sheriff's department has pretty much... You can see the effects of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department in almost any place that you go of in law enforcement anymore. At TBI, it doesn't matter the Highway Patrol, there are people from Rutherford County Sheriff's Department there.
Yeah, Sheriff Goodwin hired Glenn. He was just a young kid.
No, I remember.
And he worked with me for, I guess, close to a year. And I knew then he was a good, outstanding officer. And never thought he'd wind up police chief, but he did. Of course, I didn't think you'd be sheriff either. So, so you know, you run up on people and you don't know where they'll wind up in the years to come. But like you say, a lot of them left the sheriff's office when Sheriff Goodwin did and went to other things and did well.
So you're taking the blame for some of that, huh?
Yeah, I have to take the blame for you and Glenn anyway.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I learned a lot from you. I really did.
Thank you.
You had a way of making sure that the individual that you was training was getting all the training that they needed, and they had the right attitude. And as you know, the ability to know what you're doing, it was very, very much up front at that time, because without the training, none of us would have been able to do our job. And we got a lot of it was from you. I mean, you were the basis behind a lot of what we were able to learn at that time. And I want to thank you right here on the air for what you did for me and what you did for a lot of the other people that started working at the sheriff's office. And I can tell you, Robert Goodwin thought a lot of you, and he would not have given you that responsibility, because you were on the front line with every officer that he hired, and he put them under your wing to make sure that they were able to do the job the way he wanted it done. And the only crossways I ever got with Sheriff Goodwin is I hated wearing that hat. the bus driver hats that he came out with.
But that was a must.
Yeah, I know it was a must, even inside.
Yeah.
I tried to reason with him one day. I was at the courthouse, and I was inside, and I had my hat underneath my arm. And I said, he said, "Where's your hat?" I said, "I got it down here, but I'm inside." Put it on.
Yeah, I remember once we was passing Shoney's, and he seen two officers get out of the car. One of them didn't have his hat on.
I hope it wasn't me.
Sheriff was riding with me, and he said, "Turn around and go back to Shoney's." And I turned around. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, didn't have his hat on. He went right in Shoney's, and they was sitting there getting ready to eat, and he chewed him out about that hat. You wore your tie, you wore your hat.
Oh, yeah.
And you act professional. If you didn't, you would hear from him.
You're well-dressed. Anything you want to say to anybody?
No, I just enjoyed being here with you.
Oh,
Dave,
I'm glad you came on.
Glad
I mean, it was
up.
A lot of fun. A
lot of
It brought
friends.
Back a lot of good memories.
Yep, me and you've been friends for a long, long
we
time.
Have. Now, Judy Benson calls us every once in a while because we talk about Doc every once in a while. And you're related to Doc somehow.
Yeah, Doc was my mother's brother.
Okay.
And he was a good friend.
I tell you what, back in those days, he was probably the one person that you went to when you needed something done in Rutherford County, because he was the one who worked 24 hours a day. He was on the county commission.
Yeah.
And he really didn't have anything tying him down. He had the shop, but other than that, he didn't have anything tying him down. And he was the one that did all the legwork for everything that happened in the county commission back then. And a lot of people don't really understand how much he contributed to this community.
He did a lot for a lot of people that a lot of them didn't even know their own self that he'd done stuff for them, help them get jobs and things like that. You know, he was a person that thought about another person a lot.
Well, buddy, I really enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it, Trent.
I have to have you back on again. I'd like to get the whole bunch on one day, the ones of us that are still around, and maybe share stories here.
That'd be good.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 2:00.